Welcome to Creating in the Cracks, a writer and illustrator, mothers who create art and children, sharing anecdotes, advice, faith and support in the crazy world of artistry and motherhood.
Sarah is a writer, wife and mother of six who lives in country Victoria with her family and her farm animals. She is the digital manager and my creative accomplice for Steinemingen Studios alongside all her writing adventures.
Lessie is an illustrator, wife, and also a mother of six. She runs the Steinemingen Studio in St. Mary's, Sydney, and also creates from her home in the Blue Mountains, where she lives with her family and cat.
We are so happy to have you with us today. Let's dive in.
Welcome to episode 23 of Creating in the Cracks. Happy Easter, Lessie. How's your week been?
Happy Easter. Well, proceeding this morning, it was going pretty cruisy, actually.
What happened this morning?
Do we want to know? It was just like Feral Friday. I nearly anticipate every week that everyone on Friday mornings is just a bit cranky. But this morning was...
They outdid themselves.
Yes, and I think I outdid myself too. So... we were all firing on all cylinders, so anyway, everyone to where they needed to go.
Not fun. In your house.
No, oh, yeah, basically. It was just, yeah. Anyway, but the week had been really good, but yeah, no, this morning we had... Everyone slept in a little bit because it was really dark because of all the wet weather we're having. So we're sort of already running a little bit behind. And then one of ours is a really, really fussy eater when it comes to fruit and veg. And so packing his lunchbox is like impossible.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like most of the time I send him with like – a sandwich and popcorn and maybe a yogurt, and that's all he will eat. He just refuses to eat anything else. And I'm at this point where we're like, anyway, it's that thing of like, it's okay not to like everything, and like trying to find what he does like and sort of not traumatizing the child, but yeah. Also being like, you actually just have to sometimes eat things you don't like.
Yeah.
Because it's good for you. He spent the best part of 45 minutes with the tiniest slice of tinned pear, not even like just fresh pear, tinned pear, in his mouth, refusing to consume it. And it was just like, yeah. But anyway, that was my Friday morning. So that was...
Yeah. Oh, dear.
It can only go upwards, right?
Yeah. Oh, dear. How is the weather?
I'm
as crazy as they said it was going to be.
I think I had the radio on in the car this morning, and they said what they thought was going to come this afternoon has hit early. And I think it's hit mostly overnight because it was quite heavy through the night. Like, there was a lot of rain. Thankfully not a lot of wind, because we are in a bad spot when it's really windy.
The windy storms in the mountains used to stress me out.
Oh, they're scary.
So much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I quite enjoy a good windstorm now that I'm not living in the mountains anymore, but far out they were stressful in the mountains.
I think at our last house where we lived, we were set sort of down from the road, so we kind of didn't get the full force of it, but where we live now, we're on a ridge
in a double story.
And it howls, like it really howls. Like, I feel like I'm in a mystery novel, like,
yes,
in the House of Horrors when it is windy, and we usually end up with like at least five of six children in our room.
Yes.
Yeah, so thankfully no wind. It has been very rainy, but it seems to have eased off in the last half an hour. Like, it's a bit of a spit happening, but, you know, nothing heavy. So I'm hoping it stays that way for the kids this afternoon, and I don't have to go on a afternoon pickup rescue mission.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. But anyway, yes. So that was where's the bottom of your week started?
We're just a bit all over chocolated, really, which it sounds like it's probably what's going on in your house too. Like, probably. I'm over chocolated, the kids are over chocolated, we're all a bit snitchy.
I just remembered something, though. You're actually completely on the money, because I just remembered that Mac had brought home a pack of 12s yesterday, and I was like, why? We just had so much chocolate. Anyway. There were six, like there was just the 12 pack, and there were six left this morning. He left them on the bench for them to have one in their lunchbox as a treat at the end of the week. But the older boys, unbeknownst to me, took off with two each, possibly three from one of them. So that may explain some of the angstiness this morning. Thank you for making me feel like it's not my parenting skills.
Who wants a tin pear after you've just had half a bag of the chocolate you to yourself?
The over chocolating.
Yeah, so I mean, we're sort of muddling along, all right, but I don't know how to, like, I love the chocolate part of the celebration of Easter, but I don't like that we just have so much of it, because we always end up with all of it. So I was like, take this for the kids, and I'm like, I don't want to say they can't have it, but I also, like, because I try and be like, well, let's, you know, celebrate the 50 days of Easter, we don't have to eat all the chocolate this week, but then they're actually just eating a lot more chocolate than they usually do for 50 days rather than just seven or eight. So I don't really know. I haven't come up with a good solution to that, except for maybe. Well, my thought was maybe we just do more fun baking instead. That's like, do more choc chip biscuits and cakes and things.
Yeah, that is a good idea. What we did do this year, they actually didn't get that much chocolate in the Easter basket this year, my kids, but I had a stash and they found the stash, so that was annoying. But we did actually do a bit more crafting this year, which I haven't been in a mind frame to do previous years, and I think probably for us up here, because in New South Wales it's not school holidays yet, so we had a 4-day weekend, which was really lovely, which is separate from holidays, I think, which is quite nice, because I think sometimes when it's holidays I feel a bit overwhelmed already.
Yeah.
So the idea of crafting is like, no.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, that's a good idea, because we went straight into holidays, but I was thinking we're going to be finished holidays and you'll just be going into them. I think you guys have done it better, because we had a really short term one, which means we're in for a slog term two probably. Haven't actually looked up what their dates are, but term two is always long anyway. So when everyone gets sick is term two.
Yeah.
Then we have a little start off at the start of the year, and then everyone gets all the things in term two.
Yeah, no, we have not had that. Yeah, so we've got an 11-week term this term, which has been with the 4-day weekend, which everyone's nice feeling break. A bit more peppy that week beforehand, which we missed podcasting there because we had a very lengthy Holy Week. one of our
Leslie locked herself in a cell and didn't talk to anyone for the whole week. ate on bread and water.
Mentally, that's what it felt like. Oh, mate. But yeah, that week before the 4-day weekend, our year one kiddo was like feral. She just had had enough. And one of her teachers was chatting to me. He was like, yeah, we have a lot of kids who are just really ready for holidays. I think I'm really ready for holidays. Got another 2 weeks of this. But the 4-day weekend has helped. I think everyone's rebooted a bit, which is
It must be interesting for the teachers this week, teaching a whole bunch of chocolate about kids. Because they wouldn't have had to do that really before.
Not often. Because
we're always on holidays.
Yeah, so. Not often. It happens, I think, the same sort of, almost the same. It must be every 4 years or 3 years. I don't know. Anyway, don't envy them, I think everyone's sort of a bit.
Yes. What was your high point?
My high point was the Easter weekend. We Like I said, we'd had a really lengthy Holy Week, and so that was a bit stressful. And then I'd been putting off planning Easter Sunday a bit, but then got it together, and that we just had the most lovely Easter Sunday. Like, it was just, it was really peaceful, and the kids just had a really, really lovely day with some of the activities we did, and just hanging out together, and being able to just take it easy because we had that sort of 4-day weekend. And then on the Monday, I was able to take my oldest to the Easter show with some of my family, which was really awesome, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, because I never get to hang out just – usually it's not that combination. So if I'm hanging out with older kids, I usually have one of the younger kids somewhere along the way. So,
It's nice to get to be the fun parent occasionally, isn't it?
Yeah, it was.
The one who does stuff and says yes to things and isn't, like, distracted and grumpy all the time.
Yeah, it was so – it was just, like, I didn't – I because they're older, it was just – you know, we drove to the station, we jumped on a train, and we just, you know, I didn't have to run around after anyone else. So it was,
yeah,
it was really nice to just hang out with them, and they are hilarious. They are the funniest sense of humor, which was just really fun to see them doing that. And I think also with the older two, often my oldest boy, who's the second, will hang out mostly with his brother, and not so much just those older two. So I think that was also really nice, just seeing them still being good friends, my oldest girl, my oldest boy. So that was really lovely. And then they also got to do some fun things. Like just, yeah, it was – we did all the agricultural stuff. Like we went to all the different animals, and that's always fun. And then they got to choose one rider game, and they did that. My oldest girl really was hanging out to go on a roller coaster.
Did you have to go with her?
My sister kindly offered to do
that. Well done. Like, well done, auntie.
It was actually perfect because so then she did that, and then my son went with her husband, my brother-in-law, to go and choose a game to do. So they just went off. I was like, oh, great. So I just went and had a look at all the – beautiful art that was at the Easter show. So that
was nice.
Yeah, it was like a date with myself, a date with my older kids. That was, you know,
date with your siblings.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was great because it was at the Easter show too. It wasn't like a big formal event of seeing everybody, but sometimes that has its own like orchestration. So this was quite casual and just, oh, hey, we're going to go here. Okay, I'll meet you back there and whatever. So
yeah, nice.
That was really nice to do. Yeah, and not something I would do with six at once. So that was, yeah, it was really cool. So yeah, that was my high point. What about you? How's your...
Well, my kids, we did the Easter Vigil Mass, which is Saturday night, and it's always really long.
Mm.
And they were just so well behaved.
Oh, so good.
It's really nice. Because I really like doing it because, I mean, we got there late. But you start outside with a fire. We just got the end of the line of people lighting candles, and you all light candles from the fire, and you go in and the church is all dark and it's just there in the candlelight. So it's really atmospheric. It's really cool. It's also can be quite stressful with toddlers and candles. But they were just really well behaved, and it was really nice. Because every year I'm like, yeah, we're going to do it. The kids love it. You know, they love the drama, and it's just important to really get the feel of this time of year. And then it comes to the actual day and everyone's tired and grumpy and I'm like, oh, why do we do this? Why don't we just go to the morning mass? But no, it was really lovely. And Father Stephen Eaglehawk does a great job. And it was just really nice. And then we were so well behaved. And then
that's so exciting.
My toddler at like after communion or just before it, I don't even enjoy the consecration, toddles up to the altar, kneels down like he's the holiest little thing going around, and just clasps his fat little hands in front of him and nods his head.
That's like, the cutest.
Oh, that's very so cute. Pretending like you're not feral every other Sunday of the year.
I think there is something special though about the Easter Vigil. It's one thing that I do miss because Mac works Saturday nights, Of course. We very rarely, I think we've done it once. So with the kids, and but it's so just, yeah, like you were saying, like the drama, it's like just, it's so, it has the mystery about it and it really draws them in. And so it completely changes the dynamic. They're a bit more like, oh, this isn't standard. What's going on here?
Yeah. And because it can be a lot that's boring about maths for kids at that age and want to really capitalize on the things that aren't.
Yeah, basically. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. But how did you go over your Easter with getting stuck into your commission?
Yeah, really well, actually.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, I'm really happy with the progress. Anne-Marie, if you're listening, I'm at about 75% done. Particularly, actually, the last few days, I've made a lot of progress. Over the Easter weekend I did too, actually. It was just, I think that was one of the nice things about having that 4-day weekend is it meant that I wasn't sort of jamming in things to be planned, and also we don't have soccer over the long weekend as well, so that just frees up the weekend. And I did block in a couple of solid hours on the Saturday, particularly just sitting down and painting, because everyone was quite happy pottering around.
Awesome. I love those
so
days.
That was it was really good. And so, and also this week, I can't remember what day it was, but with the drizzly weather too, it's sort of the afternoons just become a bit of, you know, just I don't mind if they watch a few extra shows or whatever.
You know what I love about that is I love the excuse, like I don't have to feel like a bad parent.
It's snuggly weather, put a movie on.
Yeah, I'm a good mum. Not like I wish I could do this every evening, but then I feel guilty and you'd be grumpy children. And
I was actually also quite proud of myself too, because last time I was talking about, I got it into a bit of a rut.
Yuck. Sorry, Les. The toddlers just walked in with the beautiful dyed egg that the preppy did 2 weeks ago. One was blown, one was hard-boiled. He's trying to eat the 3-week-old hard-boiled egg, so I'm just going to compost that while we talk. And I'm a bit concerned about is where the blown one's going, because that was to keep forever and she's very attached to it and I can't see.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry. As you were saying.
I feel like that has been, that's been like the theme of the last few weeks of like setting up these like really cool things and then like they turn into the egg that needs composting that's been attempted to be devoured by the toddler. Yeah. That's it.
Parenthood in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's so last episode I was talking about how I was struggling with getting a good run up, particularly through the day. And I felt like I was leaving all my create into nighttime when people are asleep and just not getting a good go at it. So I was doing those micro pockets, and that worked really well to sort of get me back into a bit more of a groove, which has been great.
Oh, that's good.
Like there's been a couple of days this week, not just one. There's been a couple of days this week where I've actually been able to sit down for at least 40 minutes to an hour.
Oh, wow.
And just work at it. And I think the other thing that has helped me is that for Easter, I finally finished a project that I started quite a few years ago for my kids, which was to have their namesake patron, a little painting of each of their namesakes, which was really because I have also been working on my portfolio, which was another of my goals last time. And I was trawling through and I remember I started that and I found it. Anyway, so I had done 4 out of the 6 and so I had another 2 to go. And so I started doing that, and I've also still been doing a little bit of one of my dad's paintings, and I think just having a couple of little things to break up the larger chunks I've been spending on the commission has been really good. I've felt the rhythm of that has been really working for me the last couple of weeks. So
awesome.
That's a big win. Because it kind of just means that when I get to a point I'm thinking, oh, I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed with this detail or whatever, I can just take a break from that and go and paint something else. And that sort of keeps that creative productivity vibe going without me feeling exhausted or without it me wanting to just put it all away for a bit. So I think that's been a really good balance, which is awesome. That's been like, oh, winning. So
that's very good to hear.
All my goals have been happening. But did you go? I think you were going to finalize another submission.
Oh, yes, fellowship for the State fellowship. Library. Yeah. Yes, so I got that in.
Great.
I felt like the premise was strong, and then I got down to the, what experience do you have? I like doing this. I'm very interested in it.
It's really hard to.
No experience, actually.
Did you put your anthologies in there?
Well, no, I didn't because and my husband said the same thing. He's like, why don't you put those in? I was like, I just feel like self-published is probably not what they want to know.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
It's more like industry experience. And I was like, well, look, I've got a master's.
Yeah.
It's a science master's.
but
you know, the research skills are there. Yeah. So, and talked about, you know, all the research I'd just been doing. Informal research for the last 20 years, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know.
I mean, you've got to start somewhere too. That's it. With these sort of things, like you've got to be in it to win it, which is my sort of what I've been trying to work towards in my portfolio. Do you need to?
We might have just discovered where the blown eggs are. So you were saying in your portfolio.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so you've got to be in it to win it. So with going back through my portfolio and rejigging that, same sort of thing. Sometimes it feels like I have no experience. I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah, but so. I'd like some experience. So if you give me a fellowship, that'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But actually what was really good about applying for it is it forced me to really grapple with the library database, which, you know, I've used mostly for reading old newspapers. And I can, every time I go on there, I was like, how do I find the newspapers again? It's just not, I mean, it's government organization, so it's not user friendly.
I feel you.
And even like it took me, so I spent the majority of that time preparing for the fellowship just trying to work out what is available in the library database and
that's good
citing them. But yeah, I found out that they hold the papers of Mary Grant Brooks, who's one of my favourite Australian authors.
That's exciting.
I know. And
how cool is that?
Obviously got a huge one on Nellie Melba.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, well, I'll have to go in and just read her diary or her letters or whatever it is they've got.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
At some point this year. So, yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, so it was good. It just forced me to really work out what was there and, you know, what I could use for research in my writing.
Yeah.
So definitely planning on working really hard at doing some more first-hand research, primary sources, that's the word I'm looking for, primary source research, which is not something I've really had access to before outside of diaries that have been published.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, well, that was good.
That's good. Yeah. Well, done.
The other thing is my word count has been really good this week because we're on holidays and I don't have to go anywhere or do anything. I just put the TV on. And I reckon I've got about 4,000 words done this week, which is really nice for me.
That's epic.
Yeah. So that's been really good. It's just struggling to feel like those words are worth anything at the moment. I'm in one of those dips. But next week I'll probably be like, oh, this is the best thing anyone's ever written. Yeah. Well, it's going to be so lucky to read this.
Ah, that Inspired to Write account over on Instagram. Her name's Amy. She had one quote one day that was something along the lines of, if you don't have a massive pile of crappy art, then how do you expect to get to the good stuff? And I was like, that is helpful.
Yes. We all need to hear that.
Yeah, good. Especially when I'm like going through like my piles and piles of work. Like, what am I putting in this portfolio this year?
Oh, my friend January had a fun thing on her Instagram stories last night. It was like, there was these words going over and over again really quickly, and you screenshotted it to get like your daily mantra type thing.
Oh, cool. I love those.
So I did it. It was like, trust that you're where you're meant to be right now in the process.
I think I need that like tattooed on the back of my hand. It's so important, and just set the parameters of where I am and just work with it.
Yeah, that's it. Crappy words, crappy art and all. But what have you been inspired by this week?
Well, I was really excited because a friend of mine texted me on, I think it was Monday. No, it wasn't. It was before then. And she said, do you want to go to the local cinema because Cabrini is showing.
Is that showing here?
It's showing at, I mean, our local cinema at Glenbrook is independent, so... Have a look around because my parents had gone to see it and said it was just a fantastic film. Go see this. And so I had looked up the times, and originally they had only had like 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. and I was like,
we know only the grandmas are going to see this film, so let's make it easy for them.
Basically, but either I know that. An acquaintance I have from playgroup at the local parish said that she had actually phoned them and said, do you have a later time slot? Because there's like, I know a whole lot of people want to go see this. It was good. But they sort of said, oh, no, nothing's changed at this stage, but we might, you know, show it again depending on how it goes. It must have done well because they've extended the showing times and we got a 7:30, which was great. So Wednesday night I got to go, went and had a drink with a couple of friends beforehand, which was really nice.
Who are you?
I'm just gallivanting all over the town this week. It was so good. I was really quite thoroughly impressed. As you know, I really do like Edith Stein, and her writings on the feminine genius were really formative for the famous poet that a lot of people will know, for John Paul II, and a lot of his writings. So the reason I'm talking about that is because in this film about Mother Cabrini, who was an Italian nun who was very sick, who started her own order and wanted to start a missionary order. They wanted to start in China. And she basically hassled the Vatican, like the good Italian woman that she is, to the point where the Pope was like, fine, look, you can have your missionary order, but start in New York. That's where she started. But the film sort of, what is actually really well done in it is that they tackle so many big issues really just with such grace, like you don't and honesty, but
that is such a skill.
It was just so compelling, like it just they tackled all the issues facing women without it feeling
like a massive aggressive.
And they also tackled issues of race, which can be difficult to do without it feeling just like
token,
like it's a token thing, or that it's a very like too much of an ideologue.
That's the way to put it.
It just really brought it all back to the humanity of people, which is what she was all about. You know, her whole thing was serving the poorest of the poor, the sick and the dying. And she did that. And it was, so it was a really phenomenal story. I mean, I had heard of her before the film and I knew that she had a really big impact in New York, but yeah, this, like, she was just amazing. It was a really, really well done movie. And I think everyone should go watch it.
Yeah, well, that's good recommendation, because we were looking up movies because we got tickets for Christmas from my husband's parents, and we were looking at movies the other night and there wasn't much on. There was one called, I can't remember what it was called, but it was about an African-American woman who did her thesis. She's a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and she'd written this thesis on racism, and is it actual racism or is it more of a caste system problem?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to get the story straight in my head because we watched the shorts and then I read an article on it. And it looks like it could be really good, but I was a little bit hesitant and like, is this just going to be, as you said, just, you know, 2 hours of ideology being shoved down my throat?
Yeah.
Or is it actually going to be a really thought-provoking exploration of social politics, which I'd be really interested in seeing. So that was sort of on my list, but I didn't know Cabrini was showing in Australia. I'd heard and seen really good things from it.
Yeah, no, it was just, it was really, I loved it because it tackled, so obviously in New York at the time, there was, the Irish had really, were more, far more established than the continental Europeans. So they sort of had a handle on the underbelly of the city and all that kind of stuff. So it was really fascinating because you had the Irish Catholics who had obviously had a rough time. And then you have like the Italians and the Polish and all the others who have come over, and then they're having a rough time, and some of them at the hands of each other. And then it's like this whole big melting pot. Yeah, that's right. I've got a whingy monkey here too. But so it was really good because it tackled the it tackled all the racial stuff, but in the context too of the, hang on, sorry.
All right. So anyway, we were on Cabrini.
Cabrini, yeah.
Yep.
Yes, so the other thing it really captured really well too was the interaction of politics and the church. but it was really, I actually felt that they captured the role of the Archbishop very well, because it brought out his faults, but it also brought out his humanity and the position that he was kind of stuck in. Like, yeah, it wasn't like he was just being heartless. It was that he was trying to balance a lot of different powerful people. And so that was really interesting. He definitely did have his flaws, and he definitely, particularly at first, quite looked down on Mother Cabrini and was like, oh, you're just a pain, which she was. She was a good pain, but
good squeaky wheel.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. I just, every time I think about it, there's like something else that I just want to like chew over. So,
oh, that's definitely such a good recommendation.
Worth watching. Yeah, yeah. I think too, even if you're not someone of faith, it's a riveting watch of just seeing, I guess, that sense of determination. And she just knew that she was doing what she was called to do. And I mean, anyone who feels like they are meant to do a certain thing can relate to that. And again, the humanness was really,
loved it. Cool. All right, I'll have to hunt it down.
Yeah,
and see if they're showing it in Castlemaine or Bendigo.
Surely someone independent somewhere.
Yeah, well, Castlemaine's got a gorgeous little independent theatre. And Bendigo has a mainstream and an independent, so sure we can hunt it down.
Yeah, someone will have it. But, what have you been learning and being inspired by?
Being inspired by Beowulf. So I finished the poem. I think did I talk about it last time?
Yes, you did mention it last time.
Yeah. So I finished the poem over Easter. Was really not expecting to enjoy it as much as I did. Really enjoyed it. But I just got interested. So the version I've got is the poem and then translated by Tolkien and then lots of notes compiled by his son that Tolkien wrote on his translation. Like, why do you choose one word over another? There's suggestions from C.S. Lewis in there. Why I think you should use this word, not this word. Cool. Yeah, so cool. But it's just really interesting to see what's changed, what's like, because as I said, it's very Lord of the Rings reading it.
Yeah.
It's got a very Tolkien flavour to it.
Yeah.
And so I'm listening to a podcast on Beowulf and all the different translations, and they are talking about how they've all bring, you know, that version is that author's version, even though they're all dealing with the same source material.
Yeah.
You know, the way they used Old English can be different to the way we use words now. So you can sub in a few different words. I think like German word Geschichte can mean history or it can mean story. So the history of, you know, the olive oil press would be Geschichte, whereas the story of the, you know, woman at the well is also Geschichte. And so it's the same word but two very different connotations. So, and I think being a Germanic language, there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit up to that author how they're interpreting it and what they bring to it. And so now I'm really keen to just totally go down a Beowulf rabbit hole and read lots of different versions and just see how people altered it in what way.
I find that kind of thing really fascinating. I see that very, very immediately in jazz music because of Matt, because that's what he does. It's his nighttime job, but he wishes it was his daytime job. And we were actually talking about this. In jazz, what he plays is mostly the American songbook. So the major composers in the probably anywhere from the 1930s to 60s, thereabouts, some of them went a bit, like a lot of the ones who wrote the sort of American standards, so the basically the famous songs that you would know from jazz, a lot of them like kept on being musicians into the 70s and even 80s. But anyway, we're talking about this because some of our favourite musicians like Mel Torme, George Gershwin, no, not George Gershwin, he's a composer, George Shearing, and there is another one, Errol Garner. So they're three different musicians. Two of them are piano players. One was known more for his singing, but he could play pretty much anything. That was Mel Torme. They have this amazing knack of smooshing together these different standards. And the reason that reminds me of the Beowulf thing is that when you go to just like one song, you might say Night Train, or you might think of a song that everyone knows is A Wonderful World. So everyone knows that. They know Louis Armstrong singing A Wonderful World. But when you get all these different musicians doing it, it changes it. Like, it's still the same song, but it gives it a different dynamic. And some musicians will play it as a ballad, and some musicians will play it as a bossa, anyway, we talk about this for days, but
yeah, because it only
in our house, but it's the same sort of flavor. It doesn't spread
it any thinner. It kind of really enriches.
It does
the work. Yeah,
and when I think when you have different ones, when you've listened to different ones too, it's really, then when you listen to a new one, you're like, oh, and you can hear the influence of the influence. Like,
yeah.
You know, that you can tell that person's read that other person's version because I can see they've done that a bit similarly or whatever.
but then they've also listened to this other person, and then that's brought in, and it just becomes this really cool mishmash of creativity.
Well, it's a bit like when Harry Potter came out, my sister read it. She said, she's just ripping off J.R.R. Tolkien. And she'd read Lord of the Rings before Harry Potter. I hadn't. And then I read Beowulf. It's like, he's just ripping off Beowulf.
A really interesting concept, because my oldest loves to write stories. And she'll sort of be like, oh, come read this, Mum. And I can tell what she's reading.
Because I can tell what I'm in my like youngest
all these different
stories.
Elements from all the different things she's reading that she's put together. And sometimes I think, oh, should I say something? And then I think, no, because copying.
It's how you learn.
It's how you learn. And it's the same with painting. I think I've touched on this before. That copying the masters in painting was a really big part of basically painting school for a very long time. I don't think it is now, but certainly for many, many, I don't even say even centuries, that copying the most brilliant person at the time was like, you are now going to learn to paint, copy this person.
Yeah.
And then go do your own after you've mastered this.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Mm. Yeah, and I think, I'm the same. I look back through, I've got all the stories I wrote for school growing up, and I can tell you the last book I read. I wrote that story.
Awesome.
Yeah, my kids are doing the same. Lots of Janet and Dick and Anne and George at the moment are coming into the stories.
Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah. Twins going to a school called St. Clara's, not St. Clair's.
Oh, I love it.
But what's been inspiring you this week? Oh no, what have you been learning? Sorry, we've done inspiring.
We've done inspiring. Not a whole lot, to be honest. I still feel like my brain is catching up from before Easter. I don't feel like I've been learning a whole lot. I do feel as though I have been relearning a bit, going back to sort of the bouncing between the different paintings. I have found myself re-reminded of techniques that I haven't thought consciously about for a while. So that's always good. I had to go and pick myself up some masking fluid, which I think I mentioned last episode actually, so I did finally do that, and that's been really helpful, and just revisiting that. So that's kind of that's what I've been learning. Just relearning my trade.
What's Oh, well, I'm just learning Beowulf.
It kind of blends together, the inspo and the learning.
pretty much. But what's your goal for this week then?
Okay, well, my goal for this week is to obviously to really keep punching along with the commission, and also with my portfolio. And this will also go into Bloss things. I just need to block out some time to sit down in front of the computer and just edit, basically. I want to finish editing the Blosslings and just get them done. Get the editing done. I just want it done because I don't want it to fall into my box of never finished projects. So I want to get that done, keep punching on with my commission. And the portfolio, I have spent time trawling through, like I said, and part of that was to see where the gaps were, because I have bought tickets for the online stuff for Kid Lit Vic, which is super exciting. So they have an illustrator workshop, which will be on the 11th of May, which is with Donna Rawlings and Marianne. I've forgotten her last name, Ballantyne, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So that's on the 11th. And then on the 18th, I will be doing one of the Fast and the Furious pitch sessions.
Ooh, okay.
And I actually, for that one, I actually do also have Donna Rawlings and another lady, Danny V. So Donna is, she's an illustrator and a book designer. And I think she was a teacher beforehand. And I didn't know, but she actually spends part of her time up here in the mountains. So I thought, that's really cool. So I'd love to see. I have to get back into seeing what the Children's Book Council branch up here has been doing, because they run a lot of events, a lot of the kid lit events up here.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so, but that's, yeah, so, and then Danny V is, I think she's in book acquisitions for Larrikin Books. I'll just double check. Yeah, she's also an author and speaker. I'm pretty sure that's, oh, maybe that's the wrong, no, that's the wrong one. That's not her. Here we go. Yeah, she is an author, but she, hang on, she has a podcast, which I actually discovered after I had booked and thought, oh, I've got to listen to that. So that's also on my list. Anyway, basically, yeah, so if I've, because of that, I've been going through my portfolio and really sort of thinking, where do I need to fill it out? And so one of those things I'll revisit are some of, like, my characters. So Avery and Clementine and Todd. I'm going to pull out some of those and do a few more things for that. And just filling the gaps so that each of those ideas that I have in there kind of demonstrate my skill set too. And what they want to see from an illustrator. Because the ideas are all there, but sometimes you just need to make sure that you're kind of ticking the the craft skill box. You know, they want to see you being able to draw this character in, you know, in with different movements or in different settings or and be able to see that you can tell a story through the drawings as well.
That's really exciting.
So yeah, so also plugging along with that too.
Yeah.
And so that's, it's the good thing I'm actually excited about is that that gives me a really obvious deadline that I just have to have it together by
then. That's so handy.
So I find that really helpful, so I'm actually quite excited about that. So I've got to just block out some time, sit down, do some of the digital editing, write myself a list of the gaps I want to fill. So that's my goals. What about you? What are you going to be working on?
I'm just going to be working on my novel, actually, this week.
More words. You've got the words popping out, so keep it up.
Yeah, I'm going to set myself the goal of 5,000 words between now and next week. Which would be, I don't know if that's possible or not, but we'll have a look and give it a crack.
Well, aim for the sun or aim for the moon and land among the stars. Not the sun. It's too hot.
That's it. Aim for the sun and get crisped.
It reminds me of The Enormous Crocodile by Roald Dahl. The pesky crocodile gets flung out into space by the elephant and sizzled like a sausage, as Roald Dahl says.
He's so good, Roald Dahl.
He has the best words. Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck getting that portfolio in shape.
Yeah.
Between now and next week. That's it's an exciting thing to be working towards.
Yeah.
It's slightly more exciting when there's a human being at the other end of the interaction.
Yes. I think that's the other thing. And this is my first, like, Zoom pitch. Like, I've submitted to publishers before a number of years ago. But not, this is like a live pitch. So that's the other thing. It's a bit different that I'll have might have to do a mock one with some people.
That really helps, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
We'll zoom each other.
Yeah. Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. Hmm. All right. Well, good luck.
Good luck with the word count.
And good luck getting through that chocolate.
It's all gone.
Good.
It was finished off this morning in the Feral Friday.
Oh, good work. I still got a picnic basket full, which I've hidden in my room just to, like, drip feed for the next little while.
Alrighty, well, I'll leave you to the chocolate shenanigans.
All right. Okay. See you later. Bye, thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening today. We hope you laughed alongside our antics and creative experimenting. We would love to hear from you, so keep sending in your notes and thoughts. If you'd like to find out more about us or something we've chatted about, check the show notes for details. Happy creating in the cracks. See you next time.